Wow. Thank you, choir. Wow. I did hear a little bit of it. Thursday night, we were in a board meeting downstairs, and I heard you guys practicing, but it's nothing like the real thing, huh? And so thank you. I have been blessed. And it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be together again. And we have been studying this great book called Ephesians. And it's a powerhouse. And I hope that you will continue to study this book. Now, I'm coming to the end of our study, and I have been tremendously blessed by going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I hope you have, and I hope I just whetted your appetite to know more and to study more. And if there's anything that I have seen throughout this book, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, and I hope you see it too, is that we see the character of God. We see His love, His compassion, His mercy, His justice, and that we are saved by His grace. And day by day, He's watching over us. And we are in a spiritual battle. And the last time we were together, we looked at verse 10. It says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now, he's saying, be strong in the Lord. That's where our strength comes from. You know, we need to rely upon Him each and every day. We need to stay connected to Him each and every day. We need to be a people that are studying and praying. And if we are not studying and praying, we can lose our connection. All right? It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yeah, that's the foundation to the armor of God. And notice, I'm calling it the armor of God. And I'm going to tell you that God is our armor. All right, as we go through these different things that we call the armor of God, hey, we're talking about the character of God. We're talking about who He is. It's not a literal armor that we put on, but it's His character that we put on and we go into battle with, spiritual battle. All right? And today, the question is, how are we connected to God? How is your relationship with Jesus? Okay? And if you want victory in your life, if you want to experience God's presence and power, all right, you need to be connected to Him. All right? There's no other way. And here we are. We're in verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And look down at verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Not part of it. Not 95% or 99%. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or stand in the day of evil, in the evil day, that having done all to stand. And I want you to notice the three points that are pointed out that Paul is emphasizing in those two verses, in verse 11 and 13, is that we got to put on the whole armor of God. Hey, we got to make an effort. All right? Hey, we just can't sit back and say, okay, God, it's all yours. Yeah, we have to make an effort. We have to be able to say, Lord, I want to be covered in your armor. I want to be covered in your presence. I want to experience you in my life. We have to make that effort. We have to put it on. We have to put on the whole armor, which is the second thing, and we have to stand. Now, I used to think that you have to go out and fight, bloody a few noses, and go to battle. But that's not what it's saying here. It's to stand. And today I want to talk about what it means to stand in the Lord. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus didn't need armor when he went into spiritual battle. All right? What he needed was the presence of God. When he went into battle, in the temptations in the wilderness, when Satan came to him, Christ defeated him through the power of the word. There's power in God's word. That's why we study it. This is why we pray over it. This is why we seek God's presence and power. We try to reconnect with God through studying his word. All right? And we need to be a people of the word. And not only did he just read the word, he prayed over it. All right, he went into the wilderness. He was fasting and praying during that time. Yeah, we need to be a people of fasting and prayer and studying God's word. Yeah, and hey, you remember when he was in the garden and he was surrounded? They came to arrest him. And remember what he said? He said, I could pray to the Lord, and he will send 12 legions, more than 12 legions of angels. Yeah, he stood there in the presence of his enemies, and yet he was confident in God. Yeah, he had great faith in God, okay? And there he was. And these are keys to our victory in spiritual battle, in spiritual warfare. All right? Yeah, faith, the word, prayer. Hey, remember when Jesus was going to be resurrected? Remember the Romans were sent there. And they said that Jesus said he was going to rise up on the third day. So send the Roman soldiers there. Yeah, they're fearless. Then nothing can stop them. And so they put a guard around the tomb. And how many angels did God send down? Just one. All right? And those guards, those Roman guards who would never run away from a battle, never run away from a fight, yeah, because all the armor is in the front, not in the back. If they ran away, they knew that they were going to die. And so they would rather fight. Well, here one angel came and they fell down on their faces. Hey, God will send one angel. He will send 12 legions of angels to be there to help you. This is what Jesus' life is telling us. This is what Paul is referring to. If you're going to go up against the devil, you need God's help. You need spiritual help. It is through spiritual help that our lives are changed, that it's transformed. Yeah, things that we cannot do by ourselves, only God can. He can change our hearts, our minds, our desires, our appetites. Yeah, these are the things that God is working on to transform us and to change us. When we put on the armor of God, yeah, and if you take a look at what the armor symbolizes, and we will in a few minutes, it represents his character. And great men and women of the Bible have all experienced this. You know, if you look at the Battle of Jericho, when Joshua went to the Battle of Jericho, God told him, you're going to march around the city one time for 6 days, just one time each day. And on the seventh day, all right, you're going to march around it seven times. Yeah, these guys, your priests, are going to blow the trumpets. And then when you hear them blowing the trumpets, you're going to give a shout. And the walls are going to come tumbling down. Now, if I was part of that army, I would say, is there a plan B? I mean, there's no way that that should work. It didn't make sense. If I was in that army, I might not have gone out and marched. But those guys went out and marched and did exactly what God said. And those walls will come tumbling down. Not because of what they did, but because of what God did. All they had to do was show up, all right? All they had to do was be there and stand as God brought down those walls. And that's what God wants us to do. In the spiritual battle, he is present with us. In these spiritual battles, he goes out and he does the fighting. Well, we don't stand a chance in a spiritual battle, but he does. He has already gone through the spiritual battles. He has already won the battles for us, and he wants us to stand and claim that victory. Now, it's interesting. Jesus will come one day, and as he is passing through Jericho, there's a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Yeah. Bartimaeus is blind, and he's crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Now, let me give you the setting to this. Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. This is going to be his final entry into Jerusalem. It's going to be he's going to ride in, and people are going to welcome him and praise him. And boy, the disciples are saying, "Hey, we got to get up to Jerusalem. All right, and let's not wait any longer." And this guy is crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." All right, and they're telling him, "Be quiet." The crowds are saying, "Be quiet. Yeah, that Jesus has something more important to do." And this man, instead of being quiet, he cries out louder. All right? And there he is crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears him. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm too busy." All right? "Hey, this is Jericho." They probably can see the ruins of that ancient city where people didn't listen. All right? And here they are. And he hears a voice crying out to him. And Jesus stops. And I just want to say to you today, it's never too late. Jesus will always stop when he hears your voice. All right? He wants to listen to you. He loves you that much. He cares about you that much. He cares about what you're going through. And you know what? Jesus is going to stop. He's going to call this man to him. He's going to call this man to him, and he's going to throw off his cloak. That was the only way he kept warm, was having his cloak. And he knew that God had something wonderful in store for him. He was not going to be disappointed. So he threw away the cloak, and by faith, he is taken to Jesus. And Jesus opens his eyes, all right? And everybody in that crowd undoubtedly cheered. Yeah, even the disciples who tried to keep this man quiet, they were probably cheering. And they were probably saying, "Boy, I'm so glad that Jesus stopped." Yeah, that he wasn't in too much of a hurry, that he heard this man's voice. Yeah, and this man probably led the group all the way up to Jerusalem, all right? Yeah, and the reason why I say this is because, hey, he got a victory. Yeah, and we can get the same victory. And we can be like this blind man, poor, helpless, completely dependent upon Jesus. And that's the only way we can come to him, recognizing our great need of him, and depending completely upon him to do what we cannot do for ourselves. There was a lady there in Jericho. Now I'm going back to the time of Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Her name was Rahab. You remember? She is going to save the two spies that came into the city. All right? Yeah. And they returned the favor, and they're going to spare her and her family's life because she not only helped them, but she recognized that God was all powerful and that through him alone she could get victory. Through him alone could she be saved and her family. And you know, Rahab is listed in the Gospel of Matthew as part of the lineage of Jesus. Wow. Wow. And it's more than just a story. It's a story about how we can get spiritual victory. Yeah. This woman, this outsider, this Gentile. Yeah. Yeah. She became part of the family of God. And it doesn't matter where we are or what we have done. It matters where we're going. It matters where we put our faith in completely in God or whether we hold back. Yeah, Gideon. Gideon started out in Judges chapter 7, verse 3. Yeah, he starts out with 32,000 men. And God says, hey, that's too many. I don't need that many for victory. And then and he says, just ask whoever's afraid. Whoever's afraid can go. 22,000 men left. Yeah, he's down to 10,000 men. God says to Gideon, that's too many. And so he takes him to another test, and they're down to 300. Now, if I was Gideon, I would have said to the Lord, hey, 32,000 was a lot better than 300. But hey, numbers, God doesn't need numbers to win a war, to win a battle. Hey, one person that has their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's all you need. All right? Yeah, the numbers doesn't matter as long as God is on your side. All right? Yeah, yeah. You think about David and Goliath. Oh, what about Jonathan and his armor bearer? Yeah. Yeah, they're out one night, and then the Philistines are all around them, and Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Let's go to battle. You know, if God is with us, we're going to win." Yeah, that should be our attitude. It doesn't matter if it's just us or us and an armor bearer. Hey, as long as we have God on our side. Jehoshaphat. Oh, yeah, that great man of God. Yeah, that king. Yeah, there he is. A great, numerous army came against him. He was going into battle. He gets his people together and pray. Woman, children, yeah. And they pray. And a prophet tells them, hey, don't worry about it. The battle's God's. And so on the day of battle, the army is there, but in front of the army is the choir. Now, we had a choir sing up here today. All right? How would you like to be on the front lines? All right? Yeah, I noticed today that I wasn't up front, all right, singing. That's because they all heard me sing before. And they know I sing from my heart, not from my throat. All right? Yeah. And I could see that they would say, put Dan out front. All right? Put Dan out front. Yeah. And they started singing. Yeah. They started singing. And as they started singing, God went to work. And the enemy attacked each other. Yeah, yeah. The choir is singing, "Praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever." And there they are, fighting one another. And the battle was done. And all the enemies were destroyed. And God's people, it took them over 3 days to bring the spoil back. That's how God works. In Revelation 16, there's a place called Armageddon. Ar meaning mountain, Mageddon, Megiddo, Mount Megiddo. They believe that's where this battle of Jehoshaphat took place, where God's people won the battle. Yeah, well, they didn't win it by their strength and might. They won it because they trusted in God, and they won it through God's strength and might. And that's where the battle of Armageddon is today. It's in our hearts. Do we trust God? Do we believe completely in him? Do we put our faith and trust completely in him? Do we put on the armor of God? Do we put God in our lives? Does he become our armor? When we go out to fight spiritual battles, yeah, can we win those battles? You know, I was reading a story this week. It's true history. In 1934, King Alexander of Yugoslavia went to France. They were having some meetings in France. And he did not wear his bulletproof vest. You know, he put on his suit and he said, "Hey, the vest doesn't fit me right. It's just uncomfortable. Nothing's going to happen." Well, he got assassinated. All right? And all he had to do was put the bulletproof vest on. God saying, "Hey, I'm your bulletproof vest. Put me on. All right? Trust in me wherever you go." Now, take a look at this. I'm going to go through this rather quickly. I'm in Ephesians 6. I'm going to begin with verse 14. Okay, Ephesians 6. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, Jesus is the truth. Yeah, Jesus is saying, "Hey, put me in your life. Put me first and best. Don't hold anything back. You want victory in your life? You need to have truth. You need me." "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Hey, don't come to me in your own righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Come to me in my righteousness. Put your faith and trust in me, and I will clothe you with my righteousness. Yeah, this armor is representing who Jesus is. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Yeah, Jesus is the one who gives us peace. And because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. Yeah, Jesus is our peace. The gospel of peace, that Jesus came and he showed us the character of God, who God is. He showed us his love, his mercy, his compassion, his grace. Yeah, and then he died on the cross. He showed us his love so much. He just, on that cross, he couldn't hold it back anymore. He showed us the full extent of his love. "And as he died, he opened the way of salvation for you and me. And God rose him up on the third day." Yeah, so that we know that the grave has been conquered, that Satan is defeated. And one day soon, when he comes in the cloud of glory, we will all be united with him forever. "Above all, taking the shield of faith." I don't want a little shield. I want a great big shield. Yeah. But faith, that's a gift from God. Yeah. Yeah. And so as we put on this armor, we're putting on God. We're putting on his character. I want not just my faith, but the Bible calls it the faith of Jesus. All right? I want that kind of faith, that which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the evil, of the wicked one. Yeah, we're in a spiritual battle day by day, and he's throwing fiery darts at you to distract you, to hurt you, to separate you from God, to knock you down so that you will not believe in him, so that you will not trust him, so that you will not keep your eyes upon him. And take the helmet of salvation. Yeah, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what we're talking about today. Yeah, God. Yeah, being with us through his word, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. This is how we stay connected to God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Yeah, there are things we have to do. We have to put on the armor of God. We have to stand. We have to be a people of prayer and of the word. We have to make an effort. Yeah, and God says that when you have this armor, hey, there is a way out. When every temptation, when every trial, and when things look dark, God will always provide a way out. And that way out is Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Joshua knew this. Rahab knew this. Jonathan and his armor bearer knew this. David knew this. Gideon knew this. Jehoshaphat knew this. Paul knew this. Yeah. And God wants us to know it too. He closes with a benediction. Peace to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And that's my benediction for you today. Yeah, may God be your peace. May you know his love. May you know his grace today and ever.